parents wondered if you'd live this long. At least that's how I felt about my kids. The title of our message this morning is this: the best way to learn. The best way to learn. Now, here are some interesting facts from 1972 that probably most of you do not remember, and there's a great possibility that you don't even care. But I'm going to share some of them with you anyway. In 1972, did you know that The Godfather was released in cinemas in the United States? How many of you knew that? Barbara, why would you know that? Did you know the first Boston Marathon in 1972 was the first one that women could actually run in? Yeah, wow, there you go. Now you're getting into it. The next fact, many of you, the history buffs, so you either lived through it. Watergate break-in was in 1972. The first episode of The Price is Right was aired in 1972. There you go. See, aren't you glad you came today? Look at all the information you're receiving. Not so good. The Munich Massacre. Remember, back in 72, there were 11 Israeli athletes killed in Munich by 8 members of the Arab terrorist group Black September. But thinking about sports, I have better news for 1972. Do you remember that the Boston Bruins won the Stanley Cup in 1972? Obviously, you don't care that they won in 1972. But this would interest all of you. The first flight of the Goodyear blimp. All right, maybe not. 1972, do you know what it cost to rent a house in 1972? $165 a month. You could build a house back in 1972 for $30,500. Or you could buy a brand new car, brand new, for $3,879. $2,500. You bought one for $2,500? Yeah. There you go. Can it? No radio, no power steering. Transmission was optional. No, that's right. No. Do you know how much that would be worth today if you had kept it? Yeah, a lot more than $2,500. For you that like music, back in one of the number one songs in 1972 was American Pie. Remember that from? Yeah, that's right. Very good. Another one back in 72 you might remember was A Horse with No Name. Yeah, if you're that old enough, and those that are into, they call them oldies now. I don't know why, but they call them oldies. Yeah, on A Horse with No Name. Yeah, I know. But the greatest event that ever happened in 1972 was the fact that I graduated from high school. Yes. What do you think? Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, 1972, I want to congratulate Charles and Shannon this morning for this accomplishment in your life. And for the next 20 minutes, I'm going to talk to you. The rest of you guys can listen, but you don't have to. If you're going to go to sleep this week, I won't notice. But I want to talk to Charles and Shannon this morning. As I was thinking about what I wanted to share with you, my thoughts went back to 1972, the year that I graduated from high school. Now, you're probably thinking, man, you got a wild memory if you can remember back that long. But I want to take you back even farther, to the 60s, and take you back to a little camp in Morrill, Maine, called Camp Fairhaven. It was a Friday night. I was going home the next morning, and the lead counselor, Bob Dyer, gave a message that night, a message that at the end of the closing campfire, and even though I grew up in a Christian home, even though I'd been to Sunday school and church from the time I started to breathe, That night, for the first time, I can remember God talking to me. And that night, I went and received Christ as my personal Savior. I can tell you, I was excited. I was excited. I couldn't wait to tell my parents that next morning when they came that I accepted Christ. I can't wait to get home and tell all my unsaved buddies what had happened to me at camp. Yet when my parents arrived, I thought, you know, I'll just tell them later. And by the time I arrived home and got together with my friends, I began to think that telling them what happened wasn't that such a big deal. And it was those decisions in my life what were the first steps in me drifting away from God. I went to high school, and as a freshman, I made the varsity basketball team. I dated a cheerleader who happened to be the captain of the cheerleading squad, who happened to be a senior. Did I tell you we were number one in the state that year? That spring, the varsity baseball team needed a catcher. So I thought, well, I'll sign up for a catcher. Never caught in my life, but I made the team. And after a little bit, I stopped blinking when they started swinging and I could actually catch the ball. Shannon, I want to mention too, I forgot to mention that we didn't get soccer at my high school until I was a sophomore. So my freshman year, I actually played varsity volleyball. My memories of that are not quite as good because probably we didn't do that well. So as a freshman in high school, I thought I had arrived. I was playing varsity sports, hanging out with seniors. I was a class officer. Life, for me, at that time, just didn't seem could get any better. The only problem was, at that point in my life, God had very little to do with my life. And as my high school years moved on, I became more and more focused on me. And very little focus was placed on my relationship with God. My relationship with my parents wasn't that good either. I had very few study habits other than always trying to find the smartest person in the room when I walked in to take the test. Because I was part of the cool group, I didn't have too much time to do with people outside my group other than to make fun of them or ignore them altogether. My high school was a boarding school. And one of the guys in my dorm was arrested by the police for selling drugs in town. I don't know what ended up with him because I never saw him again. But I'll never forget my French teacher. He told me, he said, Brian, that will be you one day. You, if you keep going like you are, you will spend your life in prison. Instead of listening to his warning, all it did was make me hate French class more than I ever hated it. I can remember I took 2 years of French because you had to take at least 2 years of a foreign language. Bonjour. Adios, yeah, adios. Bonjour. But I remember my second year of French class, we had a pond outside our building, high school building. And I took that book and I heaved that as far as I could. And as a matter of fact, it's probably still there today. But I didn't listen to him. My intent this morning, believe me, is not to tell you about all the sins I committed or all the stupid choices that I made. What I want to share with you guys this morning are things that I learned. So as you move on from high school into college or into the workforce, you will not commit the same mistakes that I did. Of all the things my father told me, and believe me, he told me a lot of things as he struggled with his oldest son. But one of the things I've never forgotten is this. He said, Brian, it's good to learn from your mistakes, but it's much better to learn from the mistakes of others. So I want to share these things this morning with you so that you can learn from my mistakes, so that you won't make the same choices that I made and end up hurting the people that you love the most. So, three quick things so you know. Three. Well, maybe not quick, but three things so you know. Number one is this. Sin is not mandatory. Sin is not mandatory. You need to understand, there was not one sin that I committed that I had to. My disrespect for my parents, the poor choices that I made, the selfishness, the cheating, the hurt that I inflicted on others, I didn't do it because I had to. I did it because I wanted to. I'm sure that you both have heard about the story of Daniel in the lion's den, being in Sunday school and all. But before the lion's den, there was a boy. Daniel was born in the royal family. He was of noble Jewish birth. The Bible tells us that he was physically attractive and mentally sharp. So when Nebuchadnezzar came down and invaded Israel and took David captive, probably at the age of 16, probably your age or younger, Nebuchadnezzar had quite a catch. Yet unlike me, who chose to live my life as I pleased, Daniel did not. When the Babylonians captured a people that they wanted to use, they would do everything they could to drive their god out of that foreigner. They changed Daniel's name. They changed the kind of clothes he wore, the food he ate. He was separated from his family as well as any spiritual, religious influence in his life. They're all gone. Everything is gone. They did everything they could to conform him to their culture. Everything they could do to make them into a Babylonian young man. Yet with all that pressure to conform, all that peer pressure placed on him, with circumstances telling him, David, Daniel, just give up and give in. Daniel did not. Matter of fact, Daniel is one of only few people in the Bible where there's no sin ever mentioned that he committed. Now, we do know he did, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Daniel stayed true to God. How does that happen? How does that happen? It happens because God will help you do it. But for it to happen, you must choose to make it happen. Daniel said this, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Very early in his captivity, Daniel chose not to sin against God. It was no different for me. As a freshman, I had to choose. I had a choice to make. And I did not sin. Whether I was a freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, or even after I left high school, I did not sin because I wanted, I had to. I sinned because I wanted to. Sin is not mandatory. Secondly, sin's not new. Sin is not new. As you move on from this point forward, please understand that there will not be any sin, any peer pressure, any circumstance that you will face that others have not faced before you. None. In fact, Solomon wrote this. He said, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul wrote this. He said, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. As I mentioned, when I was in high school, there were drugs, there was sex, there was drinking, and there was everything going on then that's going on today. Satan may have repackaged it He may have renamed it, but it's not new. Nor is it something that others before you have not resisted and walked away from. So when Satan or one of his demons, or maybe your own fleshly desires, tell you that you can't give it up, or that you can't keep from becoming involved, or whatever it is they want to tell you, just remember, it's a lie. And don't give in. Because sin is not new. But also, not only is sin not new, sin's not free. It's not free. There is always, every time you sin, every time I sin, there is always a price to pay. God warns us about that in the Old Testament when he writes, "But if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord. And you may be sure that your sin will find you out." Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. And God warns us again, so we don't miss it. He warns us again in the New Testament when he says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. King David has sinned. And he thought, "I got away with it. No lightning bolts." When he sinned, no lightning bolts were flying around his head. The earth didn't open up and swallow him. The next day wasn't even a bad day. So David said to himself, "Well, I got away with it." Until God decided it was time for David to pay. Then Nathan said to David, "You are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done this horrible deed? For you have murdered Uriah the Hittite with the sword of the Amorites and stole his wife. From this time on, your family will live by the sword, because you have despised me by taking Uriah's wife to be your own.'" 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. Sin's not new, but never forget that sin's not free either. When God promises something, you can rest assured that you will not be the first person that God breaks that promise on. The story I'm going to tell you today, I haven't told anybody. Just Judy and I. Because it's a painful story. But it's a story that I hope you learn from so that you don't do it. You know, when we sin, at the time we think it's probably fun. You know why we think it's fun? Because it probably is. But sin always comes with a price. And that sin is far greater. The price is far greater than we ever expected to pay. And many times, that price hurts the people that you love the most. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and this couple stops in to see me. And even though it was 40 years ago, a sin, the consequence of a sin that I committed as a teenager, it came back, and it hurt Judy deeply. I remember telling her what I had done. I remember weeping. I remember I went on my knees and just cried and begged her to forgive me. And if it wasn't for the fact that Judy is the godliest woman I know, it could have destroyed my marriage. It's so painful. It still hurts her today. So don't think, Charles, look at me. Don't think you can ever sin and not pay the price. It might not be today. It might not even be in a month or a year. But when God promises that you will reap what you sow, you can take that promise to the bank. And on a side note, when that time comes, when you maybe you start dating or you find that person that you want to spend your life with, don't sin in that area either. Because God says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can unrighteousness be a partner with wickedness? How can light live with darkness? What harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 15. Sin is not mandatory. Sin is not new. Nor is sin free. There's always a price to pay. But the third thing, and this is the encouraging part. Number three, truth is freeing. Truth is freeing. Jesus said, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. After high school, I went to college. But not the college that my parents wanted me to go to. My parents wanted me to go to Bob Jones University down in Greenville, South Carolina. My sister went there, and they thought I should go there, but I didn't want them. I wanted to go to Greenville College in Greenville, Illinois. It was a Christian college, but man, it was on the far other spectrum of where my parents wanted me to go. While Bob Jones had a lot of rules, Greenville College gave me a lot of freedom. While Bob Jones would have pleased and honored my parents, Greenville College pleased me. While my father would have paid for my college education if I had attended any college that he approved of, I thought I would do it my way. I thought I would get what I want even if I had to pay my own way through. And when I arrived at school, I wasn't disappointed. No one told me what to do. I could go to bed when I wanted to. I could get up when I wanted to. I could wear my hair. Back then, long hair was in. I could wear my hair as long as I wanted to. I could wear the clothes I wanted to. I only had to show up for class to take tests. Matter of fact, I probably played more tennis than I ever went to class. I played on the baseball team. Every freedom I wanted, I now had. You know what the amazing thing is? After attaining the freedom I thought I needed to be happy, I was most miserable. After dishonoring and resisting my parents all those years, from my dorm room, I wrote a letter to my parents and apologized to them. Now, understand that was not a complete 24-hour road to transformation from being a knucklehead to a saint. But over time, God began changing me and transforming me. In fact, Mr. Blount and I was talking yesterday. He was talking about his job and how much he loves it. And he says, I can't see myself doing anything else than what I do. Now, is his job always fun? No. Is it always easy? No. But he knows that's where God wants him to be. And because of that, he's free. I can tell you, I have never been more in love with Judy, Miss Judy, than I am right now. I never, as you may know, I've never wanted to be a pastor. And now I can't think of doing anything else. If you were to talk to Miss Judy, she would confirm that we have been able to do things, go places, and meet people that would have been beyond anything we could have imagined when we got married. Has it been easy? Not at all. Matter of fact, sometimes it's been very, very difficult. But when you know the truth of God's word, when you try to live out the truth of God's word, when you allow the truth of God's word to control your thinking, it gives you freedom. It gives you a fulfillment that nothing else can give you. And I can tell you that to be true because I've tried everything else. Now, am I perfect? Well, I would like to think I am. But those that know me well and those that don't know me that well would tell you no. But I am a person that tried to live life as I thought it should be lived and found out that it always leaves you wanting. Matter of fact, I found from experience that if you want true personal fulfillment, if you want joy in that unexplainable peace, it doesn't come from having the right job or attending the right church or even getting your own way. The fulfillment that we all desire only comes as we are obedient to truth. Because it's only God's truth that will truly set us free. In just a moment, Mrs. Trask is going to come, and we have graduation gifts for you. And we have a couple cards from you. I would like to tell you they're from me. But they're not. They're from Sharon and Gary. And they're not with us today because Gary's still recuperating, but they wanted to give you those cards. And the gifts we gave you, I helped pick them out. But I can tell you, when I was your age, these gifts that we're going to give you today, I would have had any interest in receiving them. But later on, when I was at college, this is what got me through. So can I encourage you, even though you may not be interested in them, or maybe you may say, you know what, I've already got those, can I encourage you to keep these gifts nearby? Because there will be a day, I promise, whether you believe me or not, there will be a day where these gifts will be more valuable to you than gold. So as you move on into this new area of life, as you experience what it is like to no longer be a high school student, may you learn from my mistakes so that you do not have to repeat them. Learn from my pain so that you will not have to endure it, and so you won't cause pain to the very people that you love the most. Please remember, sin is not mandatory. You don't have to sin. Secondly, sin is not new, but it's also not free. Sin always comes with a price. But what is free is truth. Truth is freeing. And these aren't true because I said them. It's true because God said them. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. As you graduate soon, may God take you and use you in ways that only he could imagine. Mrs. Trask.